Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you all having a good one. I hope you enjoyed that awesome praise and worship. Decided to flip it up a little bit this Sunday. Change the scenery outside. The birds is chirping. I hope you enjoying yourself. I hope you had a good time with all your family and your loved ones on this 4th of July weekend. I'm excited as we start off in a brand new series. That's right. You see it on the shirt. Godfidence. Yes, I got my own definition of what it is. And we're going to dig into this word of God. I'm hoping this series blesses you in a mighty way. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, whatever you're working with this morning, go ahead and go to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It reads as follows. But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am." I love that. "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Today, in part one of Godfidence, we're going to talk about because of who he is. That's right. That's right. Go ahead and type that in there. Because of who he is. In this year 2020, can I say that it has not been as we planned? That 2020 seems to have shaken us. I remember when the ball dropping at the end of 2019, this was a year of vision, which I still think it is, but God is changing our vision to fit his vision. And it started off with drama with Kobe Bryant and the tragic death of his daughter and all those young kids in January. And then not soon after that, we got hit with a pandemic that did what? It made unemployment rise, schools closed, and even sports was canceled. I mean, we had to stay in the house, no matter if you were rich or poor. We were all in the same plight. We had to stay in the house and try to protect ourselves from this pandemic. And then in the midst of all this, now our nation is faced with what? Protests against police brutality and systematic racism. We're dealing with that and trying to move on into the nation and the people that God has called us to be, to walk together unified. 2020 has brought forth a lot of stuff. But all of this chaos makes it seem like sometimes that God, the creator, has forgotten about his creation. Can I get a witness? It seems like that, but I'm hoping by the end of this series that we have a few things. We have a deeper understanding of who God is, the power of his goodness, watch this, and the confidence in everything and who he is. Yes, we have confidence, godly confidence in who he is. Let's start this with the definition of confidence. Yeah, let's start right there. Supreme confidence and who God is, which is displayed in his nature, character, and word. This confidence translates to us by his ability to accomplish what his word says. And that's the Pastor George, the PG definition. I hope you get that. Write that down. Take notes. So why should I have confidence in God is the question that we must ask. Yes, yes. Because the world tells me what? To have confidence in myself. To have confidence in my ability, to have confidence in my fortitude, to have confidence in my money, in my education, etc., etc. The world, society makes us feel like we should have all this confidence in ourselves. And if we believe and depend on God, somehow we are weak. That's how we get sayings like, "If you're scared, go to church," which I don't understand. I think it takes more strength to depend on a God than just to depend on myself. Yeah, yeah. But in today's particular text, this is the first time we see God reference in name form. This is the first time in the Bible. He tells Moses, "I am that I am sent you," which in the Hebrew was Yahweh. Yeah, yeah, backstory. So Abraham, Isaac. So before this is why I say this is the first time his name is mentioned, because before in the Bible, you know, when you're dealing with Abraham, God was always known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't have a name. He started with Abraham, then moved down to Isaac, then he moved down to Jacob. So this is what God's name was. This is what he was referred to. So Moses was like, "Hey, I can't just tell them that. Everybody knows who that is. How do I know this is you that sent me, my God, my God?" So the reason we call him, watch this, the I am that I am, is because of his attributes and characteristics. Yes, yes. The reason I can have confidence in God, the first thing, is because he's omnipresent. Yeah, omnipresent. Look at this, my note takers. God is capable of being everywhere at the same time. His divine presence encompasses the whole universe. Woo, I love that. I love this. I have confidence in God because he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time. Somebody should have went to a praise break right there. Somebody should have just went shouting and going crazy right there, because God is so good. He's everywhere at the same time. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, that means, watch this, while he's delivering someone in Asia, he can hear somebody praying in Africa, and bring a blessing to somebody in America at the same time. That's the God we serve, my God, my God. God is awesome. God is awesome in what that. I feel like David, because David in Psalms 139 said this. You can read it in your spare time. Your knowledge is too great for me to understand. Yes, yes. I can't escape from your spirit or your presence. Yeah, yeah. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. I can ride on the wings in the morning, and you are there. I can go to the deepest side of the ocean. Help me out, somebody, that you are there. Woo! I can ask darkness to hide me. But guess what? To you, darkness is light, and light is dark, because that's how awesome you are. God is everywhere at every time. The God we serve is everywhere. Remember, confidence is supreme confidence in who he is and his ability to display that through his nature, his character, and his word. My God, my God. The next attribute that God, that qualifies God to be the I am, watch this, is he's omniscient. Omniscient, what's that mean? The state of knowing everything. Woo! Confession, since I was a little kid, one of the things our parents always told us, no one likes to know it all. No one likes somebody that knows it all. They got every answer to every problem, can't make a mistake, that's perfect. Nobody likes to know it all. But guess what? God is a know-it-all, and I love it. Amen. I love that, because I don't care, watch this, if you went to Jeopardy and won every episode for a whole season. I don't care if you went on Jeopardy and got the biggest jackpot ever. You still don't know it all. Even in all you know, it's still so much more you don't know being a human being. Check this out. Check this out. If you're a real person that likes to learn, once you begin to learn more and grow more as a person, you find out how much you don't know. And that's what makes it awesome, that I know I'm not as wise as I think I am. I'm not as smart as I think I am. Thank God for what I do have, but it's still always more to obtain. So God knows everything. I love this. I love this. I love this. God is saying, look here, I'm omniscient. Throughout scripture, he shows this. Look, he told Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet before the nations. He told Jeremiah that. Yeah, yeah. He determines, the Bible says this, that God determines the number of stars, and he knows them by name. Praise God. Amen. He says, look, even before a word comes out my mouth, I know it all together. My God, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. High is the heavens or above the earth, higher is my understanding than yours. God is saying, look here, I know more than you. I know everything. I know from your beginning to your end. I am Alpha and Omega. I know it all. Praise God. This is the God we serve. So his omnipresent is what allows him to be omniscient. Check this out. Because he is everywhere, he knows everything. Man, I hope it'll help somebody today. Because God is everywhere, he knows everything. Proverbs 15:3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are every place, watching the good and the evil of men. God is everywhere. He's watching and looking. He sees everything we do, and he's so cold-blooded with it. Not only does he see what we do, but he sees our hearts and our motives too. That's the God we serve. So I am that I am is everywhere at all the time. And his third attribute is this. Watch this. He's omnipotent. I'm going somewhere. Follow with me. Pastor teaching today. Omnipotent, which means all powerful. God has power over wind, gravity, physics. God's power is infinite and limitless. Woo, woo. The power put on display by God is seen as soon as we open the Bible. What do you mean? The Bible says, in the beginning was God, and he created the heavens and the earth. His powers were put on display at the very beginning of the Bible. That in the beginning, which means nothing existed before him. He existed before everything ever existed. But then in his existence, he created the heaven and the earth. Praise God. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the earth and separated the waters. And he created the animals and the flowers. And he created man from dust. He created woman from man's rib. God's power is infinite. He's letting us know all through scripture. And I can go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and give you example of how God's power is put on display, but I ain't got time for that. But I gotta let you know, watch this. When Moses came to this encounter to him, why did God tell him, I am that I am? Because he is. Think about this. He has all power. God dealt with everything. After the fall, what happened? He cursed the serpent and told him that my son is coming. He's going to crush your head. He kicked him out the garden. He got rid of him. When man was doing what they supposed to do, doing whatever they wanted to do, and their heart was continuously on evil, God said, look here, y'all sleeping with angels. Y'all messing up stuff. I got to keep this seed pure. Noah, your family is righteous. Y'all love me. I'm going to flood the earth. I got all power. I got enough power to promise I won't do it again. I'll put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant, so you're going to see it when it rains. Praise God. Amen. The Tower of Babel, they was building the Tower of Babel, and everybody was speaking the same language, and God said, y'all not building no tower up to me. Matter of fact, all y'all about to speak different languages, and it confused them. God has power over languages. My God, Abraham, who had the seed of promise. I'm just giving you some stuff that Moses might have knew about before Exodus. Amen. The second book of the Bible, because we ain't going to go through after that. This is what Moses might have known before that Abraham had the seed of promise, and God told him, I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to have a son. And then his wife Sarah, when she was 90 years old, they said, look here, we're going to come back next year, and you're going to have a son. She 90, Abraham 100. They laughed. She laughed at the man. She said, yeah, right. I laughed. Ain't no way I'm going to have a baby. I'm 90 years old. And then Abraham had the nerve to say, is there anything too hard for God? Woo! Something about Abraham knew that God was all-powerful. He said, is there anything too hard for God? Praise God. There's nothing too hard for my God. Whatever seems impossible, I know it's possible with him. Yeah. So those are things that he might have known prior to it so much. But look at this. Now we in chapter 3 in the book of Exodus. Praise God. Now we in chapter 3. And the first thing we see right here with Moses is his encounter. Yeah. Moses is attending his flock, y'all. Moses is with his father-in-law, Jethro. Yeah, he's left Egypt. He's with his father-in-law now. He's chilling. He didn't get married. He ran away. He murdered a man trying to help out his Israelites. Didn't work out. So now he's chilling. He's married. And the Bible says, verses 1 through 3, that he led his flock to the wilderness into Mount Sinai, the Mount of God. And when he led them out there, watch this. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared, and it was a bush that was on fire, but it didn't burn up. Woo, my God. It was a bush on fire, but it didn't burn up. I don't know about you, but when I see fire, fire burns up stuff. Amen. But it didn't burn up. God tells Moses, look here. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, that's me. God's feeling towards the oppression and the slave drivers has now met Moses, because Moses was already upset about it. Watch this. So God says, look here. The oppression my people are going through, the oppression, the mean slave drivers that the Egyptians are holding my people back, I feel it. And it's hurting me, and I got to come down there for myself. Don't miss this. God says he's coming down himself to help his people. I got to pause right there. I know we just coming off 4th of July holiday, and if we'll be honest, what we don't like to talk about is that our people, our heritage, were still slaves on the 4th of July. Praise God. It's a trip. That I just read Frederick Douglass' narrative book. I suggest you read it. If you got anything in you, it's cheap. His narrative that he writ himself by being a slave, Frederick Douglass. And then last night, I saw his speech to the people on the 4th of July. He proclaimed the slaves' condition on the 4th. How everybody is celebrating liberty and justice for all, that we're still slaves. We're still going through something right here. Our plight in America is not fixed. It's horrible. And as I read this book, it tripped me out, because he got freedom and his ability to get free. Why? Because he can read and write. Yeah, it was him learning to read and write is what helped him get on his way. And can I suggest to you, I believe that's one of the reasons why the slave owners didn't want them to read. That's one of the reasons why the slave drivers were able to keep them bound, was because of education. Because if they could read or write, if you gave them the Bible for real, they was going to have to read Exodus. And they was going to have to read about God's people dealing with some harsh slave drivers. Praise God. They was going to have to read God's people dealing with some people that were treating them unjustly. And God was coming to help them. They didn't want them to see that or know that. Look at this. It tripped me out in the book. Frederick Douglass said this, that the worst slave masters were Christians. Ain't that a trip, y'all? He said the worst he had were those that were professing Christians. I love this. He said, why? Because they were taught through the word of God that he approved what they were doing by pastors and ministers that were manipulating scriptures. Whew. But I'm going to show you how powerful God is. We're talking about the power of God. It is even when people lie in his name. Watch this. When people abuse in his name and misuse in his name, because you have his word, you can judge a tree by its fruit. Because you have his word, you can look at it and say, look here, I can try the spirit by the spirit and see if it's of God. So it's through his word we can see. So I love this. He's like, how can you love God when you beat another human being? How can you love God when you're willing to separate families and mother here, father here, son there, daughter there? How can you love God when one of the Ten Commandments says not to commit adultery, and you take a married slave, bring him to your plantation to sleep with women to produce more slave children and make him commit adultery on his wife? How can you love God, my God, my God? How can you love God when you rape women and have children with them and then mistreat your mixed children. Praise God. How can you love God? The hypocrisy that Frederick Douglass saw, watch this, he saw hypocrisy everywhere, but it didn't derail his faith in God. Woo, 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 woo. Listen to what I'm saying. That even though somebody got him off track, even though what he seen wasn't real, it didn't derail his faith in God. We got to have enough sense, enough power to know just because somebody is misusing God's name, because somebody abusing God's name, because somebody say they are of God. But if you don't know the word of God, because he said you would think I would hate Christians, and I don't. I believe in God. I believe in it. But it's because of those that don't know the word and misuse it and abuse it have given it a bad name, and they've been doing it for centuries. So it's up to us as people that we must know who God is. I got confidence. Watch this. Through his nature, his character, and his word. You can't just leave God up to an experience, even though we experience God. You can't just leave it up to what somebody told you to experience God in his fullness. Watch this. You got to know his word. Praise God. Thank you for letting me go on my Black History rant for a minute. I appreciate it. Look at this. Look at this. Back to the text. The next thing we see was his encouragement. Yes, his encouragement. Now go. For I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel out of Egypt? Wow. God told Moses to go. I'm sending you before Pharaoh. And because Moses has been conditioned and seen the power of Pharaoh, because in those days, they believed what? That Pharaoh was a god. He was a descendant from the gods. So he says, okay, God, you telling me to go, but who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Wow. That tripped me out right there. When God is going to intervene for us, watch this. God told him to go and Moses was scared. So when God is going to intervene for us, he needs our body to do it. God can do a lot of things himself. He can. He's all limited. He's all power. But when he gave man dominion on the earth, he meant that. Y'all got dominion. Y'all run the earth. Now, if you want me to be involved in your affairs, if you want me to be involved in your plight, then you pray and you bleed. I need your body. I need somebody holy I can use. I need a temple to use to show my power. So God wants to use our body, but we got to be willing to let God use us. Look at this. God is all powerful. God could have killed Pharaoh, raised up another Pharaoh, made him let the people go, and that would have been the end of the story. That's what I would have done. that's the simple thing to do. That's why God is not us. But see, God didn't do that, because if he did that, guess what? Then the government would have got credit for freeing the people. But we know how the story went, how what God did with Moses, and we know that God got the credit for freeing the people. Praise God. But Moses protested. He was shook. He didn't want to go before Pharaoh because he considered Pharaoh to be all-powerful. Look at this. Verse 12 said this, and God answered him and said, look here, I will be with you, and your sign that I will send you is this, that when y'all come out of Egypt, y'all will come and worship on this very mountain. Again, God is omniscient, knowing everything. After you free the people, you're going to come to Mount Sinai and worship here. Moses is still tripping, y'all. Moses is still tripping. He's going through. He's like, look here, I get that. I need to go do this. But what am I going to do? Who am I going to tell him who sent me? God says, I am sent you. God says, I am. So what God is telling Moses, that I am limitless in power. Whatever I decide to be, I am. Wherever I decide to go, I will. Whatever I decide to do, I'm capable of doing. He was letting him know that I am is with you. You ain't never experienced this before, but I'm telling you who I am. So the next thing we see is his insecurity. Woo! Insecurity a trip, y'all. Insecurity a mess us all up. Amen. Insecurity is a trip. Look at this. Exodus 4, 1 and 2. Then Moses said, what if they would not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Woo! The reason I have confidence is because God can use anything for his glory. Somebody already shouted right there. God can use anything for his glory. Yeah. It doesn't matter. God loves using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God loves turning prostitutes into preachers. God loves changing drug dealers into deacons. God loves transforming people. That's what he does. He can use anything and anyone for his glory. Watch this. We are waiting for God to send us. We want God to send us with the gigantic blessings. We want all the bells and whistles. We want everything, and we want everything to use in our vicinity. And God says, no, all I need is you and a willing heart. What's in your hand? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do for me? Because he asked Moses, what is it? What is in his hand? So Moses said, I got a staff. Boom. Throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses was tripping. Moses was messed up. He was terrified. And God said, grab it by his tail. Now, anybody that knows we're dealing with serpents, you don't grab no serpent by its tail. That's an easy way to get bit. He grabs it by its tail. Boom. It turns back into a staff. Then God says, look here. Put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand in there. He took it out. He had leprosy. It was white as snow. Shook Moses. Put it back in there. Took it back out. The leprosy was gone. God was showing him the I am capabilities. That you should have confidence in me because I can do anything. I put my mind to anything I want to do, I can accomplish. I love this. I love this. I love this. So he's showing them, look, this. My name means this, that I have power over all things, Moses. Don't get it twisted. He says, Moses, he says, God, look here. I get that, verse 10, but I got slow tongue. I can't speak well, God. I'm not an eloquent speaker. My tongue's slow as speech. You got to send somebody else. I can't go up there and talk to Pharaoh. And then God said, look at Moses. I understand you got a stick and a stutter. Praise God. I know you got some issues. I know you may be struggling with something right now. I know you might be dealing with some issue that I know you ain't got it all together right now. I get that. But who you think made the tongue? Who you think made the mouth? Who you think made the blind? Who you think make those who can see? Who you think controls all that? I do. And if I'm with you, I got you. Praise God, my God. But watch this. Insecurities only produce doubts within ourselves. Woo. Insecurities only produce doubts within ourselves. If we are honest, everyone watching today, everyone has felt insecure at some point in time in their life. Yeah, everyone has felt insecure at some point that we wasn't pretty enough, wasn't strong enough, didn't look good enough, wasn't fit enough, wasn't smart enough, had some kind of issue in our life that we let it pound on us and decrease our value. We let the enemy get in our mind and say, I don't have this and I don't have that, so I don't deserve this and don't deserve that. We got to be careful, be careful, be careful, because insecurities will mess you up. That's why bros be walking around with $250 shoes, $200 belt, $300 outfit, no car, no money. Praise God. Because they want to be fresh. Not worried about stacking money and being a man and what I need to do. Insecurities will have you wasting money on foolish things you don't need just to impress people that you don't even like. I'm hoping I'm helping somebody today. That's why people be at the club buying bottle after bottle. Don't even wasting money for no reason to impress some people they don't even like. Because they insecure. I got to show that I'm better than you. Who am I hoping to help somebody? So when we want to cover up our insecurities, confidence says this, I know that I am I am. And my insecurities actually bring him glory. Woo! God's response was, look here, Moses, I made the mouth. I made all that. Your insecurities are going to work better because they're going to show how powerful I am. Where you are weak, I am strong. Praise God. Where you are slow, I am fast. Yeah, yeah, God is saying, look here, I need those insecurities because they actually bring me more glory than I'm using somebody that nobody thought I would ever use. Praise God, praise God. If you never thought you would be used by God and he's doing it. So then he said, look here, I'm so cold-blooded with it, Moses. I even teach you what to say. Don't worry about that. I got you. Moses almost misses out on the greatest opportunity because of insecurity. What opportunities are you missing out on? Watch this. Because you are insecure. Think about that. God has opportunities. He has blessings set up for you that he wants you to have. And because you are insecure, you are waiting and failing and not being what God has called you to be. But I think the reason we don't move when God says move, the reason we let insecurities take us out is because I have to go back to verse 10. He told him what? Go to Pharaoh. I think y'all missed y'all shout. He said, go to Pharaoh. See, what happens is, go is not enough. Woo! I know I'm preaching. I'm hoping somebody gets that. The word go is not enough. It should be enough that when God says go, we move. But so many times God says go and we say, God, I'm not ready. God says go and we're not perfect. God says go and I don't have enough strength. God says go, I don't have enough vision for that business. God says go and I don't have enough mind frame to get this done. I don't know what my next move is. And God said, "That don't worry about that. If I am with you, the word go should be all you need." So when God says go, you better learn to move your feet. When God says go, we got to learn to obey him and be confident in who he is. Praise God. So now we've seen his encounter. We've seen his encouragement. Then we've seen his insecurities. And last, we see his emancipation. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, we see his emancipation. We see the freedom. After Moses agrees, he meets up with his brother Aaron. He's like, look, bro, God and spoke to me, told me this and told me that. You're going to be there to help me because I can't speak that well. We got to go let the people go. We got to go see Pharaoh. I need you by my side. Aaron's ecstatic to see his brother. They go before the people of Israel and tell them the story. They say, look here, I am that I am has sent me. He said he heard our affliction. He's heard our cry. He told me to deliver the people from Pharaoh. I got to go up there and declare y'all freedom and let y'all go. And then watch this. The people that Moses was worried about wouldn't believe him, asking for God's name. They affirmed him and said, yes, we got your back. See, when God tells you to go, he ain't just telling you to go. He got some people along the way to keep you on the right path. Because when God is speaking through you, watch this, it's confirmation everywhere. When God is speaking through you and telling you to do something for him, he's going to always have a ram in a bush, praise God. He's going to always have somebody to confirm you because you might get weary in your well-doing. You might get a little sad. You might get a little slothful, a little sluggish. And God will send somebody and say, thank you for praying. Your prayers are blessing me. Thank you for your uplifting words because they continue to encourage me. Thank you for just being you. I've just been watching you from a distance and I've been seeing your light shine. And I appreciate you that you don't let things get you off track, that you don't let this world get you out of whack, that you stand fast, that you pray and you hold on to God's unchanging hands. When God tells you to go, he will always tell others to go to confirm what he's already told you. I love this. So then Moses comes face to face with Pharaoh for the first time. He comes face to face and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, being Pharaoh, said, look here, I don't know your God and I ain't letting your people go. Which God, omniscience, already told him, Pharaoh's heart going to be hard. He ain't going to let the people go. That when you come in there, he ain't going to want to let the people go. That matter of fact, he told him in chapter 4 earlier that, look here, Israel's my firstborn, and he's taken and abused my firstborn son. So I'm going to have to take his firstborn son because he's abused mine and misused mine. So goes in there, and he says, look, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no, matter of fact, I ain't letting your people go. I don't know your God, and I'm going to take away their straw to make the bricks. They're going to have to work even harder now for you disrespecting me, coming into my house, telling me to let these slaves go. Woo, woo, woo. Just because God said, do it, watch this, told you he was going to help you, told you he was going to be with you, doesn't mean there won't be conflict or struggle. Woo. I pray somebody's getting this today. We growing up, a new creation, we got to grow up in the spirit. Just because God said go, he said he'll be there with you, he's going to help you, don't mean there won't be a struggle. It doesn't mean that. You must understand that any time that you're doing the will of God, the enemy is going to try to deter you. Any time you're doing the will of God, the enemy is going to try to set you back. Anytime you're doing the will of God, the enemy, his job is to seek, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. So if your job is doing what God says do and go, he's going to try to get rid of that plan any way he can. So we got to be mindful of that. Watch this. God had to take Israel through several plagues because he said no. Matter of fact, he said the people are going to work harder. So this discouraged the people. But because God had already affirmed him, God had already shown Moses that I have all power. God had already guided him through these steps, brought Aaron to him. God had already had the people affirm him once. He didn't need no more affirmation from the people because people can be fickle. My God, he didn't need any more affirmation from the people because some of them got upset and was like, look here, we don't want to deal with all this drama. We don't want all this protesting. We don't want all this stuff. And he's saying, no, God told me to do it, so I got to go. Praise God. So he says, look here, now I got to take Israel through all these plagues. I got to turn the river into blood. I got to send frogs. I got to send boils. I got to take the sun and make it dark on their side and light on Israelite side. I got to go through all these several plagues. Then eventually the first Passover comes and he covers them with the blood, my God. They stay in the house. They're covered with the blood. And then what? Then you see Pharaoh's firstborn son taken. Woo. So much had to go through that first go. He didn't get the victory instantly. So much went through that first go. Then he sealed the deal. And we know this story if you matriculated to Sunday School 101. Then he sent the deal. What? Moses comes to the end of the Red Sea. Pharaoh says the people can go. They go. He changes his mind. He's upset. They get to the Red Sea. And then God says, lift up the staff. Moses lifted up his hands and the Red Sea splits in half. He split. Then what happens? He leads his people to freedom. My God. I'm just helping a few people today. I don't know who you are, that you need to be emancipated, that you need to be set free. And God is saying, you got to have confidence and confidence in me. And I'm here to set you free, my God. Your freedom isn't that far away. Praise God. Your deliverance is nearby. Your victory is in the vicinity. It's in the proximity of what's going on. That God is coming to deliver, heal, and set free. That God wants you to know that he has your back. It's time to stop putting your faith in men and women. It's time to stop putting our faith in money and clothes. It's time to stop putting our faith in cars and jewelry. It's time to stop putting our faith in drugs and whatever else that got us bound. And God is saying, put that faith in me. Put that confidence in me. Put it in me. Why? Because I am that I am. Woo. I am all knowing. I am all powerful. My God, my God. And I am everlasting. So I'm hoping today that God has touched your heart and your mind. I'm hoping you understand that God is on a mission. That this godliness is going to be a way of life. That we're going to say, God, we're putting up our white flags. Praise God. Putting down our wills, putting down all our desires. We're putting down, oh God, because what I might have, what I might think that I need isn't what I need. But to make sure, I want to line it up with you and your word. I might have to go through a season. Moses had to go through a season in the wilderness, praise God. Before he was able to meet God, he went through a season in the wilderness because he tried to deliver his people his way. Watch this. Had the right heart at wanting to do it, but didn't have the right motives. He ended up killing a man. You're not going to kill a man and get rid of all of Pharaoh's troops. No. He had to go through a season of the wilderness. And in that season, God began to speak to him. And even though he had doubts, Moses was a man like us. But the Bible says he was the most humble man that ever walked the earth. Why? Because he knew, without God, I am nothing. With God, I am everything. And that's what I came here to tell you today. If you don't know the God we serve, if you don't know, if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, woo. I'm going to talk about it more, but the reason I can have confidence in Jesus like I do in God, why? Because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Woo. Jesus says, I am an everlasting river. Jesus also declared himself to be I am that I am. And the reason I can have faith in God and in Jesus is because Jesus is God in the flesh. So if you know you need to be saved, I'm just telling y'all, this world is crazy. Every week, every night, God, my prayers are for my city. Every night, we seeing people shot. Every night, it's something crazy happening. Every night, young people are dying. Young people are getting shot. And we should be sick of it. It's time for us to turn our hearts back to God. If we can't see there's a real devil that's attacking us and wants us to die and wants to kill us and eliminate us as people, we need to wake up. And I'm here to tell you that there is freedom in Jesus. There is emancipation in Christ. Just like God used Moses to let the people go and deliver them from Egyptian bondage, God wants to deliver you from bondage. God wants to deliver you no longer to be a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. Doing the right thing, walking in God's will, walking upright, not have to worry about anything, looking over your shoulder, looking to the left or right. God wants you to look forward, not look in the back. See, the problem is we keep messing up and we're looking too much in the back. We're spending too much time in the back. The rearview mirror, it's important. You need to look in your back every now and then. In the rearview mirror, you need to look and see what's going on behind you. But if you continue to look in the rearview mirror, you can't drive forward. Can I suggest to you that the windshield is a little bit more important than the rearview mirror? Because the windshield is my future. The windshield is me going forward. And God said, it's time to put that stuff in the past. It's time to bury that stuff in the past. Get rid of it so I can put it underneath the blood of my son and move forward in that windshield and look forward to what I have for you. God's trying to make chains fall in your life. See the text to join the numbers on the bottom. God wants to bless you indefinitely. God wants to heal you. God wants to make you whole. God wants to take back everything the enemy stole from you. He wants to help you. He wants to break free every lie. He wants to rearrange everything. But all he needs is a surrender, y'all. All he needs is the hands up. He needs us to have confidence in him. It is in him we trust. I know we are taught to trust in money. The money says in God we trust. No. In him we trust. We got to trust God with our mind, with our soul, with our heart, with our life, with our children, with our future, and that he's covered our past with the blood. My God. So that's my prayer for you. I hope you've made a decision for Christ today. And we'll see you same time next week. God bless you and take care. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Okay.